Tonight, James eats pudding, Mike eats everything else, and our guest saves a cat.
Hey, this is James with StrawPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike, star of YouTube and CouchPotatoMike.com. How are you doing, sir?
I am amazing.
Why are you so amazing? You sound so damn upbeat.
I don't know. It was, so for you guys, if you don't know, this intro is always recorded after the podcast, so...
You're spoiling the magic, damn
it! In the future.
No!
So I already know how this podcast interview is going to go, and it was great.
How did it go, by the way?
It was,
Cause it hasn't happened yet.
It was great!
Alright.
I'm Tony the Tiger.
No, you're not. You sounded
Jamaican. I met him once when I was like 4 years old.
You did not meet Tony the Tiger.
He came to the Kroger and I took a picture with him. Dude, I found that. I put it in StrawPunk.com. So just clearing the house here. There are new features being added to the Survival Punk Army for use guys in there. If you go check, I finally uploaded some more of the zip files, so you can download the zip files and convenient zip files of 10 zip files or 10 podcasts each.
And you're going to be getting exclusive content not available to the general public.
You literally, like, we've promised that, but literally there is exclusive content in there now. There is, so if you guys...
Behind the scenes backstage pass into the weird soft underbelly of Survival Punk Podcast.
So our interview with Paul Kortman that, I've heard from lots of people, they really enjoyed that interview. We have bonus. We have like almost like, what, 15, 20 minutes of bonus?
Yeah.
After the podcast ended, we chatted with him about 80s cartoons. You'll not find that on the rest of Survival Punk. If you're a Survival Punk Army member, log into your back room, your Survival Punk Army Brigade.
Do you ever hear him talking about 80s cartoons on the Survivor podcast? No, you don't.
Yeah, you can't get that shit there. You can only get it here.
Yeah, at survivalpunk.com.
I've got some extra stuff from this interview with JJ...
Flazanes.
Yeah, not Flazanes. JJ Flazanes. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to go back through some of the old podcasts and pull out some bonus content. There was a funny chat we did with Mountain Chang from The Primal Professional talking about eggs and coffee. So you got to be a member to find that. And two more things.
We've got a new ebook out.
The new ebook.
Not we do, he do.
By the time that you hear this, then the new ebook, 7 Paleo Pumpkin Recipes that you should try today, will be out for 99 cents. Unless...
Dun, dun, dun.
Unless you're a Survival Punk Army member.
Then you just get it!
You just get it. Along with DIY Survive. It'll both be in there. They will both be in there.
Just two more great reasons to join the Survival Punk Army. Never forget.
And there's one more.
One more?
One more!
I can't believe it.
Yes. We are going to start doing an exclusive video chat once a month just for the Survival Punk Army members. 1 hour. You can ask us any questions you want. We'll kind of have like, it'll be basically a live podcast that's more random. We will talk about some survival stuff, some random thoughts we have, maybe 80s cartoons. Maybe Michael rant about bro jobs some more. Who knows?
Tell them there'll be punch and pie.
There will be punch and pie.
Yeah, because more people will come if they think there's punch and pie.
Yes. And free t-shirts. If you come into the chat, we'll get a t-shirt cannon and shoot it through the interwebs at your face. But yeah.
We're not
1 hour video chats.
For any injuries or if you don't catch one.
Yeah. So you can ask whatever you want. And then they will be recorded and put into the Survival Punk Army Brigade. So they'll be in there for you to rewatch in case you missed the live one. You won't be able to ask questions, though, but you can always watch. And on that bombshell...
It's time to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
Don't you mean it's time to begin?
Oh. Well, you screwed me up, you little ninny.
Yes.
Yes, it is time for us to do our interview, which means handing it over to our tame survival guest. Some say that her favorite color is asparagus. And that she once ran all the way from the Grand Canyon to Hawaii on a pogo stick. All we know is she's called J.J. Flazanes.
All right, it's my great pleasure to welcome to the show J.J. Flazanes.
Hi.
Did I say it right? Yeah. Hey, thanks. yeah, I'm not good with names at all or faces, so I'm just terrible at that.
Well, and it's a good thing this is on the podcast right. Instead of a video.
Yes. Yes. How are you in the day?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
How's the weather there? You're in California. How's the weather today?
It's beautiful. It is usually beautiful. I was just spent 10 days in Nashville, and luckily,
oh, wow.
I think I brought California weather there. For the first 5 days, it was horrible humidity. I hate humidity. And so it was like you open up the door, and it was like you're in an oven every day. And then, thank God, Thursday.
No, that's just Nashville.
I know. Is it?
That's just Nashville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've gone up north before and I rid a Greyhound bus all the way back down here, get off the bus in Nashville, and that humidity just hits you in the face like a brick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't fun for the first couple of days in terms of the weather, but then it turned and we were there for my brother-in-law's wedding. And for the last 4 days, it was beautiful. The humidity dropped to like 60, 50, 40%. And it was like in the high 80s and it was just gorgeous. And then on the last day, of course, the weather went back up again to humid and we were on the plane and my husband heard the flight attendant say, current weather in Los Angeles, 70 degrees, and a big smile came over his face, and I was like, yep, that's why we live in L.A.
So we're right outside of Nashville, and today we had scorching, hot, disgusting, humid weather, and now it just started thunderstorming.
Yeah, a squall just came through. Big old thunderstorm just out of nowhere, and it may have stopped already.
Yeah, and so I visited San Diego one time, and I left Nashville being, you know, disgusting and humid. I get to San Diego. I'm like, oh, it's the best weather ever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's.
That's why a lot of people live here because I had a massage yesterday after a chiropractic session with a woman who's from, I forget what country, Slovenia or Czechoslovakia, Romania. Anyway, she's been here for 20 some years and she said, that Southern California has the best weather in the whole world. I was like, yep. That's why a lot of people live here and keep moving here. And that's why we have traffic. So you know what? I don't go on the freeways that often. And when I do, I just go, it's okay. I live in great weather. So I'd rather just relax and learn how to de-stress while I'm driving.
And I've heard that from every single person I've ever met from Southern California. They love the weather there. But I tell you what, before we actually get sued by the Weather Channel, why don't we just jump right into this? And JJ, tell us a bit about yourself. Who is JJ Flazanes?
Wow, that's a interesting but direct, I guess. Who am I?
Well, oh, yeah, I'm the direct one.
Yeah, I'm pretty direct, too. I guess I just didn't really put too much thought into who am I. Well, I am do you want my title? Do you want because I can go real spiritual on you, where I can go like, what you need to put me in a box kind of thing.
Just go like the mile high view. Like, how did you get to where you are now? Like with the fitness, the personal training, like, what inspired you with that?
I have been forever a curious person. I rebranded myself as an empowerment strategist. So who am I? I'm someone who believes that you can find your power in any circumstance. And that our goal in life, like we're freedom seekers. I'm a freedom seeker and I believe everybody, every animal is a freedom seeker at heart. And some people don't know what that means because they're so used to being in a box. But I like to help others find their freedom by asking them what they want to accomplish in their life and then figuring out a way to work within that and how to feel free while you're doing it.
I have never heard that term before. I kind of instinctively knew what it was as soon as you said it. I'm like, yes, that's like, I love that term, by the way.
Well, it's because you don't have very good acoustics in your box.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of balanced brain, like right brain, left brain. And so to me, they're both important and they're both needed. And a lot of people have a lot of dominant in one area and they lack the other. And so it creates imbalance. And so you can take someone who's very right brain and help them create strategy. I can take someone who's very left brain and help them find their feelings and their emotions and their passions and give them life again, revitalize them in an emotional way within their strategy, within their structure. So I think they're both absolutely, it's like masculine and feminine. They're both needed. They're both important. They're different, but to be whole and happy and at peace and to be successful, I think, in life in every area, you need both.
Absolutely. I actually saw your right brain, left brain diagram on, I think, your personal website. Yep. And I was sort of thinking, I was like, I don't actually fall on either side. Like, I tend to be pretty right brain, very logical in some things. But my mind just, I don't have a mind for math. Like, I just, like, I hear math and my mind's just like, nope, don't want no part of that. But I can do art. So it's a weird, like, I traded off math for art and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, we all have creativity if we express it or not.
I think that's why we're such good friends. I do math.
Yeah, and I don't. I've tried to remember. I just don't care.
When I first met this guy, his entire math structure was based on quarters. And I don't mean fourths. I literally mean quarters, like a 25-cent piece.
Right.
Like, how many quarters is that? And a ton.
Yeah. So tell me about this brand that you have, Fit to Love. So I read about it. It actually seemed pretty interesting. The book, the brand.
It's an all-inclusive sort of integrative approach to what most people do very compartmentally. They look at, let's say, diet and exercise. In fact, I have a few clients who are new clients who are, they call themselves lifers. They've been overweight their whole life and they've tried every program. They've been on Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig. They've had a trainer. They probably went to like Overeaters Anonymous. They've had food delivered. They've done what they think is every program. And I had them on a 90-day program and they assumed there'd be calorie counting, there'd be logging of exercise, and that would be, you know, like every other program. And we did none of that. And everyone lost, I mean, anywhere between 25 and 35 pounds in the 90 days. But I never once asked them how much they weighed and how much what weight the last week before. And I went kind of, after we covered the food stuff, I went deeper. Because here's a fun fact that people don't really get. Food can be like a drug. We all have addiction. Period. It just depends on what it is. We all use something to numb ourselves or to avoid feeling or dealing with our thoughts and our feelings. But because food is legal and it's necessary for life, people don't look at food as an addiction. They just think, oh, I eat too much because I love food. No, that's not why. Yes, I love food too. Trust me, there's nobody. I love food. In fact, this morning, part of why I was running around crazy this morning, I end up making homemade tomato sauce. I made a homemade avocado pudding. I'm currently making a paleo cheese bread to make some pasta later for dinner that's going to be made out of zucchini and broccoli and yellow squash. I made homemade cat food. So I love food. I love organic, non-GMO, make it, grow it yourself. All those tomatoes came from my own garden. So, you know, you can't tell me, oh, I really love food, because the people that usually overeat lots of food eat crap food and then say, oh, I just love food. No, there's more than that. And so the Fit to Love approach really is, let's go underneath the surface and see why you even create or have these urges in the first place. And it isn't because you don't know any better. Who doesn't know that they're not supposed to eat junk food, or who isn't supposed to exercise? You're not, you know, eating fresh fruits and vegetables isn't good. We all get that. It's more than that. It's so much more than that. But most people don't want to do that. So they stay frustrated going through all these different programs. And it's also the same thing with relationships. And that's why they're both kind of together. It's like we use the same – we keep thinking, oh, well, that didn't work out with that person. It's that person's fault. Let's move on. I can find somebody better. I made a mistake by choosing that person and they hurt me because they did that. So it must be them. Let's go get another person. And then they repeat that over and over. One day, if you are awake or get frustrated enough to say, huh, what's the common denominator here? Me. So how do I influence what's going on? What am I attracting into my life? So the Fit to Love brand is really about taking, you know, self-care with an integrative approach that really takes responsibility of the person. Only you can attract what you put out there, what you, who you are and who you are. And as who you are changes, so does what you attract. And I like to give people as much responsibility for everything you can possibly, I mean, more than you even think is logical. If you can start to, and that's where the power empowerment strategist comes into play, because if you can try to take responsibility, not in a blaming way, not in a shaming way, in a what can I do about this? What was my participation in this? How did I create this? And how can I change it? When you do that, then you feel so free and so at peace because you know you have the tools to overcome anything and you never feel the need to blame somebody for what's going on with you.
There were so many gems in what you just said. I had to take a few notes and
you should. I wish you could see this end of everything because several times during what you just said, his ears just pricked up like a hyperactive guard dog. it was amazing to watch.
I pretty much will never ever argue with a guest because I bring people on to express their ideas and maybe that'll click with my audience.
But you wouldn't believe how much he disagrees with them all the time, constantly.
No,
I'm throwing you under the bus, dude. So.
There's one time that I watched this documentary on obese children. I'm interested in that.
This one doctor told this one very heavy set little girl, you need to eat more bran muffins. And yeah. He lost it.
Oh my God.
This doctor was given like, the worst advice, and I have a question later on about what you actually think on nutrition. And I'm pretty sure from what you said with what you're making, we're probably pretty similar on a lot of stuff.
He might have to beg that recipe from avocado pudding.
I wrote a note for that. I'm like, I'm going to need you to email me that.
I'll tell you what it is right now. I just made it. So go ahead.
Okay. No, what is it? Go ahead.
I had two avocados that I knew I wasn't going to use and they were starting to get brown. So I just scooped them out, obviously without the pit and without the skin, into a magic bullet, like the smaller cup. I put, so it's per avocado, it's 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder, 2 tablespoons of honey or maple syrup or agave. I used honey and I actually probably use a little bit more. And let's see, two avocados, 4 tablespoons of cocoa powder, 4 to 6 tablespoons of honey, a little bit of maybe like 4 to 6 tablespoons of coconut milk. Let me think. Was there anything else in there? Nope. And then I blended it. That's it. And you can add, and you can put some shaved dark chocolate on it or put some nuts on top of it. Yeah, that was it. It's just 4 ingredients. Avocados, cocoa powder, sugar of some kind that's paleo, and some kind of nut milk that isn't milk. And there you go.
I'm going to give that a try.
Definitely enough to try that.
So a lot of times when I think of recipes, I don't even bother to check and see if other people have created them because I don't want to be influenced by them unless I can't think of a way. So I got to thinking recently, I was like, I think I can make paleo rice pudding. So what I did was, and sometimes I make these recipes and they turn out to be atrocious and I throw them away. but I took, I riced some cauliflower and then I simmered it in coconut milk for about 30 minutes till it was tender. And I added some powdered stevia and some cinnamon and some vanilla extract. And it tasted – so at first it was a little weird, but after I refrigerated it and it actually congealed like pudding, which was weird, it tasted like rice pudding. Like it blew my mind. You know, sometimes you make stuff and it actually tastes like that. So I don't know if anyone else has done that before.
I'm going to try it now because I am Greek and Italian and rice pudding. I grew up with rice pudding and I haven't tried to do it paleo because I kept thinking cauliflower has such a sulfur taste to it. That I wondered, aftertaste that I wondered if that would work. Did you use full fat coconut milk or did you use coconut milk out of a container you buy at the store?
A canned.
Yeah.
Coconut. It didn't say light. So I didn't get the light can. It was the full fat can.
Good. Good.
Never go light fat on anything.
Yeah. No, no, no.
No, light fat usually means extra sugar.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Increase your fat, decrease your starch. There you go.
Yep. Yep. And, so if you gotta have the vanilla extract. I didn't put the vanilla extract in. I wasn't thinking about it. And I let Mike's wife try it and she was like, it tastes good, but it's missing something. I don't know what it is. And like the whole day in the back of my mind is going, what's it missing? What's it missing? And then I saw vanilla extract. I'm like, that's what it's missing.
What about cinnamon? Would you put cinnamon on it too?
Yeah, I put cinnamon in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it had the cinnamon, but without the vanilla extract, it kind of had too much of that
cauliflower.
Cauliflower right. flavor. Yeah, I mean, it was sweet and tasty, but you got to have the vanilla extract.
But it was really psychotic how much you would honestly think that he just made rice pudding.
Nice.
Yeah. So give that a try.
I will. And,
yeah. So this is a fun interview already.
Yes. Now, before the cooking network sues us, let's move on with this.
Nobody's suing us for recipes. Nobody is suing us for recipes. Go on.
No. So, tell me about how you got into personal training. Like, what would you tell someone that's interested in that?
I got into personal training because I quite honestly wanted a job out of college while I was pursuing an acting career that had nothing to do with waiting tables. And I was already working at the gym, because in college I needed a job and we were at, and I hated retail. Oh my God, I hated retail. And so if my manager in the retail said, hey, let's go get a job at the gym, we'll get a free membership. Now, my back up even further, I've been a dancer since I've been 3. So I had strong muscular legs my whole life. But here I'm now in college dating a gymnast who's very well built all over. And I look like a little bird with my arms, but yet I have these really powerful legs. So going to the gym felt like, and even my boyfriend at the time said, you know, we need to make you a little more evened out here because you're really little up in the top. And not that I was like, I just looked muscular in the bottom and nothing on the top. So I went to the gym. I saw the trainers. I said, how do I do that? And then they told me, and there you go. And I never knew that it was going to take over my life. Really, I didn't. I thought it was going to be a job that I would get to use my brain, because back to the left brain, right brain thing, it took me my whole life to figure out that I needed to be stimulated in both areas. If I was acting, singing, or dancing too long, my brain was rotting. I felt like I need to figure something out. I need to problem solve something. But then if I was sitting at a desk creating something or problem solving something, my body would feel stiff and withering away because I wasn't being creative. I wasn't like energy outside of it. It didn't mean necessarily moving. It just meant being creative in a larger energetic way. So that's, I realized, oh, I'd get restless. I needed to do something that combined both.
Yeah. I agree with you on retail. I've been in retail a long time. And, I remember thinking one day at CrossFit, I'm like, I've never seen my cross. So I haven't done CrossFit in a while. But I did it religiously for a year. I was in the cult of CrossFit super hard. And, I never once have ever seen a CrossFit coach like come in just dragging, you know, ass thinking, oh, I don't want to be at my job today. Like they always come in, you know, rip the door off. They're like, ah, let's do this today. And I'm like, you know, like if you see a retail zombie show up for work, they're like, oh, I hate my job.
Yeah.
I mean, the only good thing I can say about my job, you know, my job that I do on nights, I do a lot of walking. Doing the step counter thing, just like, last week I hit 170,000 steps for the week.
Nice.
So at least I'm active. Like I could not fathom doing a desk job, but
screw you, dude.
Yeah.
Says the man in the cubicle.
Personal training just seems like such a happy, rewarding job that I'm like,
Well,
so it's something I've thought about.
It can if you. Here's the caveat. So in the personal training world, and I'm probably going to piss off a lot of trainers that are listening to this. Most trainers have zero science education. They go and they take a certification for a weekend and then they're personal trainers. And usually their story is they lost a lot of weight themselves and they feel supercharged to help everybody else do the same. But the problem is that everybody's not the same and everyone's body is not built the same. And you know zero about science. So when something goes wrong, your skill set to fix it is really not there. Not to mention a lot of trainers, again, might be more right brain oriented, so won't be necessarily as science oriented. So, and they judge you by how you look, not about what you know. And so if you're fit, somebody will say, I want to look like you. And then they hire you because they want to look like you. Again, forgetting that genetically, that may never be possible. So there's just like a lot of science that goes into it. And when trainers first start, especially those kinds of trainers, and I was a little bit of that at the beginning because I didn't have any other role models, you would then blame your clients and you take it personally when they don't do what you tell them. And that if you're a trainer who isn't willing to grow and learn yourself about all the other aspects of psychology and everything else that goes into people's bodies and their mindsets and how they do things, then you get very frustrated because you take offense to it. You think – you make it personalized. You think, oh, they're not following my directions, or you're either stupid or there's not really compassion or understanding for the individual's circumstances. So it can be a fun job if you grow with it. If you just stay the same and do the same thing over and over again – as the definition of insanity says, you will eventually be stuck, and it will be frustrating because you'll only like the people who listen to you and get results, and you'll shame the other ones.
What are some of the things that you do to keep it fresh?
Well, I'm constantly learning. I'm very curious. I've always asked why. And so for me, it's always, how do I, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And so there's, that's why the show is a 6 day a week podcast, and it covers six different areas of life, because it's not about one thing. And yes, there's the exercise part, and I'm uber pain in the butt meticulous when it comes to form, because again, sorry, I'll be a snob and say it, most people don't know what they're doing. It's not, they don't understand physiology nor mindfulness about how to move muscle with your brain. And the more you can connect the neurological connection from your brain to your muscle, the better results you get, and you will not get injured when you have control over your body. So there's the exercise, there's the cooking, which obviously is paleo, gluten-free and dairy-free, not organic and non-GMO. And then we move into, you know, general things in wellness, like hormones and sleep and different methods of alternative healing like homeopathy and acupuncture and meditation. And so then we go through the psychological piece and the emotional piece and the spiritual piece, and then we end up with the relationship piece. So for me, there's so much information out there that there's always something to learn, always, always, always. And once I've – and I've done 340 shows, and – even at the end of it, I'm on pause right now at the end of season two. I could be doing a show a day. When I first started podcasting, I'm like, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, no problem. No problem. I have podcast friends who go, how do you get your guests? I'm like, do you understand how much content there is? Content is never a problem for me. There is always something to learn or something to look at differently or a way to hit an issue someone has in a different way that, you know, reaches different people out there who are looking for that one specific thing. So I'm a human education junkie. I get very interested in how we all think, on every aspect. And so if you open that up, there's really, it's endless.
Yeah. You touched on something, I didn't have it wrote down, but I was thinking about it. Like, when people are trying to look for a personal trainer, like, they really need to put in the legwork. Like, you can't just willy-nilly just, like, pick a random trainer out of the phone book. Like, when I picked my CrossFit gym to join, I researched it for about a month. Like, I looked at almost every single CrossFit gym, you know, within like 50 miles from me, you know. And the one I settled on, they had a big push on mobility and, you know, flexibility, you know, moving, like, the head coach at the gym had been certified by Kelly Starrett, you know, in mobility WOD. You know, so you really do need to really do your research. Cause like you said, there's a lot of quacks out there, and you'll get hurt because they don't know what they're doing.
And sometimes contrast is what's needed to get you to move in the next direction. Like, I posted something on Instagram today about, there's the pet supplement that I add food now that I learned about through the vet, who said it's called balanceit.com, and you punch in all the different ingredients that you use for your pet, and then it tells you how many nutrients are missing and which product you need to add to it to give them the well-balanced everything that they need in it. And so I posted on Instagram, and I said, you know, pet owners, I'm the person who would make my own baby food. So why did it take me so long to figure out I can make my own animal food, cat food? And, you know, so it's, you sometimes contrast. So someone going to a bad gym or a bad trainer who gets hurt then gets smarter. And so, cause not everybody's going to, you know, be that conscious up front and say, yeah, what kind of reason? Cause you don't know what you don't know. But then when you come across something that you don't like, you go, oh, well, I need to do that differently next time. So some people are going to be at different stages of that. So for those of you that have made a mistake, you know, now you know better, and you can look and say, what do I need now, and recorrect it as you move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to force myself from like going off the script here. Cause I'm like, every time you say something, I'm like, I just thought of 10 new questions. you've listened to our podcast. You know, we can get really rambling and long winded. I'm going to go back on script here. So obviously to be a successful trainer, cause you won 2007 Los Angeles Award for Best Personal Trainer. Congrats, by the way. Your techniques obviously work. I mean, that's obviously established. So what are some of the top things that has helped most clients?
Well, my clients have changed, like the kinds of people that I attract as I've changed. So at different stages, it's different things. So if I had to, let me give you three different stages. So one of the things that has really helped people, let's say in the food area, is eliminating, as I'm sure you know, inflammatory foods, which would be mm-hmm. things like gluten and dairy and some starches. You know, people aren't all ready to go paleo. I wasn't ready to go paleo, but we start to eliminate some of the things that just don't serve you in any way, even if you think they taste good, and we find great substitutes. I mean, you come to my house and you're not gluten-free or paleo or dairy-free, and I serve you something that looks like it's dairy and gluten, and then you eat it and you go, oh, that was really good. And then I say, hey, by the way, that was gluten-free and dairy-free, and most people go, wow, I had no idea. The problem is that in this industry, people tell you before you eat it, and any skeptics then try to find something wrong with it and then complain about it. But the food and the diet part is so huge, and there's such even a psychological piece to that. Most overeaters and emotional eaters, sometimes it's not even really that you're an emotional eater. You're just eating inflammatory foods that stimulate your cravings. If you eliminate those foods, you eliminate most of your cravings. There are people who've told me they thought they were an emotional eater, and then they eliminated gluten and dairy and went, I'm not even hungry anymore. So some of the biochemistry masks as psychological, and it isn't. So the food part is really a big thing. And then, of course, the psychology piece, and then the efficiency piece. But when I work with people in person or on Skype, because I do a lot of training of people all over the world on Skype, like personal training, and, you know, people go, I can't believe you can see that. Or, oh my God, that makes such a difference when I do it that way. Oh my God, that little thing that you just said, like, made it so much harder. And they're always usually amazed about the control and the specificity of their exercise. And then again, like I said, with these lifers that I have now, it's the underbelly of the real reason that everybody overeats or emotionally eats or is really overweight. It's the addiction piece. It's the, what am I running from? What is it I don't want to feel? What is it I'm not looking at? And I bring people back into consciousness, into their bodies. And sometimes it takes 90 days and sometimes it takes 7 years. Everybody, you know, the ones that it takes 7 years are people that I've worked with because they like having me around. And so they get a benefit enough that I stay around, but I etch away a little at a time about what they can handle and what they're ready for with no pressure. And when they're ready and I see the opening, and then I open them up to, oh my God, what have I been doing all this time? So that would be my kind of three points that you have to look below the surface, guys. It's not just, if you only care about what does you look like, you gotta like question that, because that's not yeah. really what it is about.
No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Now, we all know people are people, and people as individuals and sometimes as a group can be difficult. Now, have you ever had to have problems with a client pushing back or anything like that to the point where you basically had to say, look, this isn't going to work between us?
Yeah, I actually had a somewhat celebrity client. We'll call him a B-list celebrity client that I had. And celebrity clients are pains in the butt, let me tell you, okay? Because you sign your confidentiality agreement and then everything, they're like, oh. And because they're celebrities, and not everybody. I've worked with several, but not everybody. But there's a whole bunch of them that are real pain in the butts because every time they feel something that's too hard or not enough, or, you know, they want it the way they want it because, hey, they're the celebrity and they get control. And honestly, I can't be bought. So this one client who I love to death, still love him to death. I don't train him anymore. But when I was working with him, he went off with his girlfriend at the time. He was shooting a movie and he hired a trainer somewhere else for that temporary short period of time. And he was boxing with weights. Now, I don't know. Don't tell me if you do it. but anyway, he came back and he told me, and I looked at him and I was like, wow. All right. You honestly then must not believe me. You must not hear me when I speak and explain things to you, or you just don't trust me. And I called him and I left him a message and I said, look, I love you. I love working with you, but honestly, I don't think you listen to me. And I think that you're not going to get injured on my watch. All right. So if you want to go work with somebody who has you boxing with weights, go for it, but it won't be me and we can still be friends, but I'm not interested in working with someone who doesn't trust me. And he called back and he's like, oh, no. Okay, no. But I was so ready to walk away. I don't care what your status is. I don't care who you are. I'm not going to – my delivery of information is going to be the same regardless if you like it or not. So I don't – now, in the beginning, yeah, I jumped through hoops for people because I needed to survive. It's 15 years ago when I started my business. But that felt so horrible that I – after doing it for a little while and selling your soul, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. So, you know, I tell people, look, if you don't value yourself and you don't want – you think I'm going to – should give you a free consultation, then go – hire somebody else. My time's valuable. Your body and life is valuable. And if you don't value it, then you're going to keep getting stuck with, you know, bad things.
Yeah. That's what I love about having your own business is you can fire customers that are, you know, that don't deserve your time.
Well, I wanted to help him, but if you don't trust me, if you doubt what I tell you, and I'm quite scientific, put any trainer next to me, seriously, bring it on, and let's talk science, and let's see who wins, because I can steal clients very easily from people when I – and I don't try. It doesn't take – it's not hard. I just have to start asking questions that no one else answers. So, I mean, when I was director of education of New York Sports Club – when I was 21 years old. And and now I knew a fraction of what I know now, okay? But I was in that class with people twice my age who'd been training for as long as I was living, who sat there, guys, especially big beefy guys with their arms crossed over their chest. And I came in because, of course, they're looking at me like, who the heck are you? You're 21. You're a little kid. You don't know what the hell you're doing. You just took a certification and think you know everything. So I came into the class and I said, okay, we're going to talk about the pectoralis major. So I have some questions for you. Where does it originate? Where does it insert? What joints does it cross? And what action does it make? And I got blank stares from these big meathead guys who were looking at me because they don't have the answer. And I'm like, really? You do this for a living. Don't you think you should understand what it is you're doing? And I won their trust and their respect just by asking questions they couldn't answer. Because again, nobody in my industry requires you to know science. It's not like being a doctor. You don't pass. There's not some standardized test that we all take. There are certifications that come out of the woodwork. I even worked for one. I moved to California and this guy wanted me to help him write the certification. And I almost did it, but then I stopped because it wasn't a good deal. And I thought, this is silly. But I could make a certification if I wanted to and it'd be pretty good. I trust most of my clients to train people more than I trust most trainers. So because I actually teach them something. I teach them their body. They have a different relationship with their body. It's not just motion. It's not just movement. It's not just float, like throwing things around. So, yeah, it's I have fired clients. I really want high – I don't say quality. Everybody's high quality. I want people who are really interested in their body more than just what it looks like to work with them. So –
yes. Hold on. Actually, so you're talking about how you take a balanced and holistic approach to fitness, which I like a lot. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. I do want to say and get a little caveat on that because a balanced approach to fitness, most people think, oh, you meditate. Like, yes, that might be part of it, but that isn't all of it. Balanced approach to fitness is it's like, how do you explain? It's also extremely scientific. I could tell you and explain why I do say or promote or put a program together in the exact way that I do. I can answer probably 10 whys deep for everything. Why did you do that? Why is it this? Why is it that? If you go why, I have an answer for you. And if I don't have an answer for you, I will find one. Or it means I didn't know what I was doing and I will admit to that. But so a balanced approach to fitness and exercise, you know, people go on programs temporarily to lose weight or to get healthy and then, again, never address why they were there in the first place. What happened to you that got you where you were? Was it just because, oh, I wasn't thinking straight? And then, right? Like, again, that's what I mean. There's an underbelly to all of this, which is about your beliefs and your feelings and your thoughts and how you were, you know, all that stuff. So the balanced approach has to be physical. there has to be an addressing of the body, the muscles, the bones, the hormones, all that stuff, the biochemistry of what you're eating and how it affects your brain, how it affects your body fat and how you use substrates as energy or not. So that's a nutrient wise. So there's the physical. You can't separate what you think and feel from what you do. You can't. It doesn't happen. We act based on how we think and feel. So we have to address the think and feel. And most people don't like that. They're but you know, I don't start there. Yeah. I don't start there. I get there eventually, but I don't start there because I'd scare everybody off. And then usually the last part would be either the balance or the spiritual part, or, you know, whether it be meditation or celebration or Buddhism or whatever. I mean, there's not like a religion involved, but spiritual, what I mean is like bigger than you. Like you in relationship to the world and into your life, because what you believe in life. So let me give you two scenarios. If you're someone who's an atheist and believes that this is the only life you have, and that's totally fine. That's what you believe. And you also believe in that you have to do something to help the world. That's probably a lot of pressure, and there's going to be a lot of stress and anxiety about making a difference in your lifetime. Now, if you, on the flip side, believe that you have multiple lives and it never gets done, and we're here to have, you know, to be examples and to have joy and to make a difference by being an example, but yet there's, you know, and trust that the earth has been spinning for longer than we've been existing and it will continue to, and sort of take a broader perspective, then you're probably less anxious and feel less responsible and less pressure every day in life. So you can't, you know, so what you believe about that kind of stuff really does affect how you feel. If you're walking around anxious all the time, you're probably going to overeat. And if you're walking around feeling at peace and peaceful, then you don't need to overeat.
Yeah. My next question was on spirituality, but you pretty much just covered it. So, I did like that you do cover all those things, and you're not like, you're not one-sided. You know, some trainers are just, you know, you do this or that. The most successful ones I've seen do take that broad approach where they do take a scientific approach. They do talk about mobility and fitness and, you know, your spirituality, which I have noticed. I don't, maybe sort of off topic, but I've noticed like the time I was in CrossFit, there were a lot of recovering addicts there. Like, I don't know what it is about. Like you trade off like, so, in like 2 or 3 weeks, I'll be, sober for 3 years. So I noticed it kind of attracts like that mentality. I don't know where I was going with this.
Well,
I got sidetracked myself.
You distracted yourself. That was awesome.
Well, I'm glad you said that. And because CrossFit, you mentioned a cult. CrossFit kind of is another addiction. It's not necessarily, it can be an addiction replacement. Absolutely. Well, exercise can be too. I've got a friend who had a cocaine habit for a little while, and she went to recovery, and then she went straight into bodybuilding. And I wanted to say, okay, this is just your addiction. Like, you didn't heal anything. You just changed what you did.
That's trading off cocaine for weights.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But everybody wants to go, oh, yay, you're doing so good. Oh, it's healthy. I'm like, no. No, it's the same addiction. You're doing something different now. And yes, it looks healthy, but it's as unhealthy because you're just being, you want to be judged. You're going to judge yourself based on how fit you're going to get, and somebody putting a stamp on you and say, you're the first place winner. Here's a trophy. Here, let's judge you by what you look like because there's no other value to you. Anyway, so yeah, addiction, we deal with that on my show. And I think if more people who understand the addictions that they have, and it isn't just drugs and alcohol, it's control issues. It's shopping. It's television. It's internet. It's your freaking phone. It's not being able to disconnect. It's caring what people think. It's being a people pleaser. Like, these are addictions. These are serious things that people can't live without. And once we start to look at that, then you start to have a relationship. Like those lifers I talked about said, before this program with me, they didn't think they had any emotional issues. And then, and now they're like, oh. And I could have called it the very first day I met everybody. I could have told you exactly why, but they need to uncover that in their process, in their time frame. And then when you can see that your habits are really like you have a different relationship with them. All of a sudden you go, oh my God. And then the real work can start. And then you can start healing. I am a believer in healing. I am not a believer in the psychological, you know, I love psychology and I use psychology and I've seen therapists and I work with therapists, all kinds of different people. But more and more, especially the therapists that I love and work with, they don't really heal. They themselves definitely don't heal. And I noticed that when I came in and I said, you know, oh, we healed this thing. They look at me like, what? I go, yeah, I healed that thing. I was different in the same situation. It no longer has any power over me and it's been healed. And they're like, oh. And I think a lot of psychology, a lot of therapy wants to just talk you into management of your emotions and actually not actually heal it. And to me, I'm about forget that. Heal the crap so it doesn't happen again. Don't just manage it, because when you manage weight or manage emotions, they still exist. They're just neater in a box somewhere. Like, let's obliterate it.
That's just treating a symptom.
Right.
That's pretty much all Western medicine is. Not just psychology, but like you just treat the symptoms in Western, you know, medicine. It doesn't – there's no like healing of the problem. It's like, well, let's just treat the symptoms and cross fingers, hope it goes away.
Well, how would shrinks and psychologists and stuff like that make their money if their patients healed?
I hear people who've been in therapy for like 7 years on the same issue with the same person. I'm like, okay. What's not happening here? Like, not that therapy for 7 years. Okay. I've been working with all kinds of people for a long time, but I don't spend 7 years with one person on one issue. If it takes 7 years to try to even scrape the surface of one issue, you're not doing the right work.
No. Let's see. Now we've touched on a lot of different areas of fitness right here. Where do you stand? If you have a stance at all, where do you stand on the cardio versus weightlifting debate?
What's the debate?
I don't know. It's one of the questions he wrote down, and I'm just trying to be active.
Okay.
That's fair.
I sort of wanted to just have some fun with this one. You know, like sometimes everyone gets bent out of shape on the internet, and there's like a couple of great debates from the internet. Some people are all about cardio. Like, that's all they care about. Like, you don't need to ever lift weights. And then some people are like, you don't ever need to do cardio. You just need to lift weights. Just lift heavy stuff. That's all you need to do. And you'll take care of yourself. I got a feeling I know what you're going to say.
Then say what I'm going to say and I'll tell you if you're right.
I'm sure you're going to say that you have to have them both. I would probably say you're more into the weightlifting with a cardio aspect, maybe even circuit training to, you know, to build up the body that way. But I do not think you're advocating hours of spin classes.
Nope, you're right. You're exactly right. And I love rollerblading. I love dancing. I love cardio that you enjoy and that can connect your body in a real way. So for me, on a spiritual side, like I feel like I get downloads. I get ideas. I get answers of questions and problems. I get inspired. I get messages when I'm rollerblading or running on the beach with my bare feet in the sand, or what? So to me, and dancing, as a woman and a one who, works for herself. So definitely plays a masculine role a lot of the time for me when I go dancing. And I mean, partner dancing. I do a lot of salsa dancing. I used to teach, I used to perform. And so for me, that's a great time for my brain to shut off and be 100% right brained. So I believe in cardio that is inspiring to you. That's not just about, I got to get on the treadmill and do 30 minutes of this. Like, so I want people to enjoy moving and being in their body. And that's the cardio portion. And when it comes to resistance training, absolutely. Your metabolism doesn't increase because you do cardio. In fact, you decrease your metabolism when you do cardio, because the more weight you lose, the lighter you are, the less energy it takes to move your body around. So you actually decrease your cardio or your resistant, resting metabolism when you do cardio. When you do resistance training and you build active tissue, then you build more tissue that needs more energy. So yes, if you want to eat more as you age instead of eating less, if you want to keep your hormones as high as you naturally can, be strong, avoid joint injury. Well, some of the exercises in some of those programs are horrible and will cause injury, but that's a different story. So yes, you're exactly right. I may focus on resistance training first with cardio that you love and enjoy.
Yes, you know what? I didn't even write it down. And when you started talking, it made me think about and I was thinking about this earlier when I was doing these questions, the importance of playing. Like, so just getting people to stand on a treadmill and just, you know, walk is damn near impossible. Mike, I don't think my buddy Mike here has ever been on a treadmill his whole life.
Bullcrap. I call bullcrap on that. I used to get on a treadmill every single night while I was watching TV.
Okay. Okay, so he has, but...
Of course, that was back during the time I was trying to win that Biggest Loser contest at work, and you put me on that.
That I coached you for,
Yeah, you coached me on that diet, that really strict diet, and I was walking, like, constantly.
Yeah.
And I managed to lose, like, 60 pounds in a month.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've since found it all. Don't worry about it. It was only a temporary in most place.
But if I tell Mike, I'm like, Mike, let's go outside and go jogging. He'll laugh at me for 30 minutes. But if I'm like, hey, Mike, let's go outside and throw the frisbee. He's we're out the door. It's gonna happen.
I'm not gonna hold any punches there. I'm a fat ass. I really am. I'm a big guy, but for some reason you put a frisbee in my hand and I become some kind of like frisbee savant. I don't know. I am like leaping 4 feet in the air. I'm running all over hell and back. And James likes playing frisbee with me because I'm like the only person he knows that can actually throw the damn thing straight.
Yeah. So, there should be a fun factor. Like, you know, treadmill, boring. Going outside, throwing the frisbee with your buddies, fun. Yep. You know, so, and I personally feel that humans evolve to play. Like, we're meant to have fun and not, you know, stare at the TV all day. Like, I don't know. So, to me, like, combining physical activity with something fun that you do is way better than being like, we'll go get on the stair climber or whatever for a while. Like, that's – no. You get way more benefit from play than you do boring cardio exercise.
Right.
I still love the irony of that one mall. There used to be this mall called the Bellevue Center in the outskirts of Nashville, and they had a gym on the second floor, and right through the front doors of the gym, you could see all of the stair climbing machines. But you had to take an escalator up to the gym to get to it. I could never – I loved the irony of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to have guys – we at the New York Sports Club, one of the ones I used to work at in New York. I think they've closed. And there – it was a three floors. Anyway, some of the guys who wore weightlifting belts, which always makes me laugh too because, by the way, guys, weightlifting belts are a joke. They don't support your spine. In fact
– they always remind me of that old Saturday Night Live skit, Hans and Franz, yep. We want to pump you up.
Yep. It's like the first indication that you have no idea what you're doing when I see a weightlifting belt. But anyway, these guys would come and they'd take the elevator to the weightlifting floor because they didn't want to burn too many calories. And you know,
oh my God.
And it was hilarious because they had, you know, everybody, all these guys, they would like flex their biceps. If you say, see my muscle. And I'm like, yeah, let me see your abs. Right. And they're like round. And I'm like, I don't understand. Because you can build muscle and still push the fat out further. So you look bigger, but you still have a lot of body fat. Anyway, but I used to laugh at how they take the freaking elevator to the weightlifting floor because they didn't want to burn too many calories. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't get that. And yeah, modern bodybuilders, like, I just think they look disgusting. Like if you look back to like the 70s and 80s bodybuilders, like, that was like pinnacle human like perfection, you know, like as far as you can go. And now it's like the bloated intestines and like it's I don't know, something's gone wrong there, and they need to fix it.
And you know, and a lot of women think when I talk about building muscle, most people's minds go to that, and I have to backtrack. And it's like if I had a freaking cent for every time I had to explain to somebody when I talk about building muscle, it is not that. To like get them out of the like really, you think that's easy? Like, do you think it's not?
Oh yeah.
And do you think you have the hormones to do that? No. Like, they don't get that's abnormal and there's juice involved or creatine
and
hours and hours and hours in the gym and hours not eating and resting. And anyway, so yes, no. So if there's any ladies listening to the show, when I talk about building muscle, I do not mean looking like a bodybuilder at all.
I mean, plus those guys, you can't really call them healthy. I mean, I read a story about one of those massive bodybuilders, out playing a game of softball, caught a softball in the bicep, and ended up getting like something like $10,000 in surgeries because it blew something out in his arm when the ball hit him in the bicep.
Yeah, it's
bodybuilders,
it's too far.
Bodybuilder is the same thing as anorexic, just in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the same addiction of not liking your body and being ashamed of it and needing it to look a certain way to feel. So the addiction of, you know, like I can't eat anything and I have to look thin and I got to get thin and I get thinner is really the same thing in a bodybuilder, someone who cares so much about what every, you know, minute, everything they do in the gym and every muscle they have in their body. I mean, even in competition, think about that. Is that, I mean, what are you saying in that? You're saying that now for anyone that's done it who really hates me right now, you may say, well, I just wanted a goal to push myself to see if I could do it. Cool. But what's the message that you get when you do it? You get judged and you get ranked. And let's say you didn't win. Are you okay with that? Like,
yeah.
or is your ego crushed and you have to try again? Like, who cares what anybody else thinks of you? This is the problem. What you care, what you think about you is more important. And yes, it isn't healthy at all.
See, and I hate physicality competitions in any form, be it a child's, be it beauty pageants, be it weightlifting competitions, bodybuilding competitions.
I disagree with you on weightlifting.
Well, I said weightlifting by accident. I'm at bodybuilding competitions because basically it's like she just said, you're getting judged based on your physical appearance. Guess what? So do hogs at the county fair.
Yeah.
And their best case scenario is they're going to make a delicious rack of ribs.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that either, but I just felt like I had to say something.
Yeah, no, that's not good for like mentality or like,
the key is just, you got to learn to love yourself.
Yep.
And I mean, it's in the eye of like, it's not like, so if bodybuilding competitions were judged on like scientific measurements or something, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Like if you hit like a proportional number and the closer you get to that proportional number or whatever, then, you know, you would win. But it's like the judge, like, I think that guy's biceps are more appealing. Like, it's so subjective that I'm like, I don't really, like, I just can't, I don't get it.
That's an interesting point, though. I never thought about that because if I were to do a competition like that, I would be judging the quality of somebody's food, their blood, their hormone levels, their if I could test their recruitment. So in a muscle, how you recruit is by a brain action called an action potential. So you think about your muscle moving and it moves. But we have all these different fibers in our muscles that we don't use because we don't connect them to our brain and they've been disconnected because you do the same things over and over again and you never need to use new fibers. What would be really cool if we could detect the amount of recruitment, because then that would mean someone actually had to really train very specifically in a mindful way. And that, to me, that would be cool. If you could say, all right, how much of your muscle do you actually use, and then test it. And if someone used 90% of their muscle versus someone's using 50%, doesn't matter how big it is. It just means that you were able to connect your brain, because you have to do that. You can't do it any other way but being mindful. So anyway, so that'd be kind of cool. I'd do that. I'd have some kind of competition. Or, you know, like, do you see Super Size Me? Super Size Me, right?
Yes.
And he tested all his blood and stuff, right? So he looked at overall health, not just what he was eating, but overall health and all those different points. And if we could do the same thing in physicality ways, bodybuilding, that would be kind of interesting. But
I like that. When if you could test like the optimization of someone's muscle output, that would be an interesting competition there.
Oh, and wait, and beyond that, because what I'm really excited about is joints and maintaining your joints. That person would have to have a high recruitment with little wear and tear. So whoever had the most amount of cartilage and the most amount of recruitment would win, because most people kill their joints to get muscle, and then they have injury later. And that's what I'm big on, is preserving your joints, because then that way you don't have pain later versus doing stupid, dumbass exercises that you feel stronger, but you've just worn your knee down and you're going to have a shoulder injury in a year because you have no more cartilage left. So to me, that would be exciting. Who has the most amount of cartilage and the largest amount of recruitment and the lowest body fat? Boom.
So I think I branded that in my brain while you're talking. Like, I think what we want is the health games. Like, we want to judge, like, find the healthiest person on earth. Like, the CrossFit games, like, the fittest man and the fittest woman on earth. Like, we want to find the healthiest people on the planet. I would watch that. Like, if that was on TV, I'd watch that.
That'd be cool.
You know, and I've known so many people, and I'm not, and it's interesting she bring up the whole joint thing. I've known so many people. There's like, oh yeah, my husband used to be a big bodybuilder in high school. I mean, he used to be great. He's going in for a second knee replacement surgery this week.
Yep.
And I mean, that's something that I've heard at least 2 dozen times throughout the course of my life. Former bodybuilders and stuff like that, they don't even own their own knees anymore.
Yep. No.
Yep. Oh yeah, there's a very famous bodybuilder weight guy. I won't mention his name. And I just think it's hilarious that he said he's blown his knee out twice. Or two of both knees, and he's a fitness professional, and nobody seems to be blinking an eye. Like, hello, why did that happen to you? Oh,
it doesn't seem very fit.
Well, it's because our understanding of bodybuilding is just to look big or look good. And again, we don't think of it as being smart about it. And so then, to me, if I didn't know better, I would look at him and go, well, gee, if working out like him means I'm going to need knee replacements, then I'm not going to do that. It's almost a message to people to say, well, the fitter you are, the more you're going to break down. And that's not true. It is true for most people because they don't know what the F they're doing. But it doesn't have to be that way. Your exercise should not create injury, and it doesn't have to, but it means you do have to take a more scientific, smart approach about it.
Yeah. Yeah, my advice for anybody like that, if you want to be really healthy but you still want to look good, do what we're doing and buy a Ferrari.
Yeah. When we get 20 billion downloads of our podcast, we'll buy Ferraris.
20 billion?
20 billion.
Really?
Yes.
20 billion.
Yes.
That means everybody on the planet would have to download it more than twice.
Yes.
20 billion.
We'll just wait until the population
When we get off with her, I'll start calling China.
Yeah. Just to be respectful of your time, I got a couple rapid fire questions and then we'll let you go.
Okay.
These should be fun. So what is your number one supplement that you use? You have to have it. You can't run out.
Vitamin D.
Absolutely.
Fortunately, as long as we have the sun, she won't run out of that one.
Well, to say in California, you have more sunshine available than most people. But yeah, vitamin D is a great supplement. It's pretty much it's good. So this is a survival punk podcast. So,
meaning punk music?
Punk music, yes. Punk attitude, punk philosophy. So what we like here.
So do you have a favorite song that you like jamming out to?
Right now.
Well, it's anything Mark Anthony. I know it's not punk. Sorry, it's Latin, but anything Mark Anthony.
Okay. I mean,
because I dance.
He has a good beat. Yeah, yeah. It's
Anything reggaeton, anything on Latino station that's not Mexican music. It has to be, you know, like it's Pitbull. I love Pitbull. So anything Pitbull, anything Mark Anthony.
I was gonna say like pretty much every Mexican song I've ever heard on the radio, like. You have to start dancing. Like it's a law, like a law of nature. Like you have to start dancing.
Yeah, mariachi music annoys me. Bless you. I'm not a fan of mariachi Mexican music. So people think salsa is Mexican. It's not. It's Latin.
I was gonna say like we disagree. Like hate Pitbull, but I love mariachi music. Like,
all right, well you bust out to that mariachi music.
Yeah.
All right, and lastly, this was
next to lastly.
Next to lastly, it's our stop. Oh, wait. I didn't even see. I don't like that one. I'm skipping.
I'll read that one. You can have the last one. So do you have a most recommended book that you recommend to people?
If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules.
Who's that by? Do you know?
Dr. Sheree Carter Scott.
All right. I'm going to make a game it.
Cheree. Sheree Carter Scott.
Say you're stuck on a desert island and you can only take one item with you besides basic survival gear. What would that item be?
Can I bring a person?
Absolutely.
Can I take my husband?
That's a good answer.
As a married man, I'm kind of offended by that.
Yeah. Why?
Now you're stuck on a desert island, too.
To know that women think of their husbands as items.
I asked permission. If you wanted a different item, what would I bring? Probably a knife. I'd bring a knife. If I couldn't bring a person, I'd bring a knife.
Oh.
Well, I'm glad.
Definitely take your husband.
No, actually, I'm very flattered that you would take your husband. I know a lot of women that would throw them off the island.
Absolutely.
Split it down the middle with, like, coconuts. Like, this is my side. Don't come on my side.
Just like an 80s sitcom.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to tell you, it has been an absolute delight talking to you. Yes.
Glad we were able to connect through hiccups and whatnot. Definitely had a fun time on this podcast.
Thank you, guys. I did, too. I listened to some of your shows, and I thought it was really funny. I was like, I wonder why they wanted me to be on the show, besides the paleo connection. And obviously, I didn't know you did CrossFit, I think, before that. Maybe I saw CrossFit on your site, on your website, and wondered if we'd talk about that. But I'm glad. Thank you for all your great questions. I appreciate that you are interested in the topics that I was talking about. And I know that, obviously, thank you for the recipe. I look forward to trying it, and I'll let you know how that goes. Let me know how it goes with your pudding, your avocado chocolate yes. pudding, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
All right. Well, you are welcome to come back on the show anytime. So I think this has been really great. Do you have any final thoughts?
No. Well, just let people know where they can find you real quick. I'll obviously include it all in the show notes as well, though.
Sure. If you're on iTunes listening to this, obviously you can find my show on iTunes. It's Fit to Love. And there are three channels currently. Just look for the one with the most words. It's a Fit to Love, Physical, Emotional, and Spiritual Fitness for the Happy Life You Deserve. That's the main show. And that's the only one you need to be concerned about. If you're not listening to this on iTunes right now and you want a website, you can come to fittolove.tv. That's F-I-T, the number 2-L-O-V-E.tv.
Awesome.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been J.J. Flazanes. Thank you for coming on the show, okay?
Thank you, guys.
All right.
All right, and so this is James from Straw Punk Podcast.
Yes, and on that bombshell, this is also Couch Potato Mike from CouchPotatoMike.com and the Survival Punk Podcast saying, drive a Ferrari. You'll look good in that no matter what you weigh.
DIY to be fit, use guys.
Use guys.